And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth for this hour of the program. Doug, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, my pleasure. It's one of those weeks that's tough to get away, I'll tell you that.
I wanted to let our listeners know that because of that, Laura Stein will not be with us this week. Hopefully, we'll be able to get her on in December before we close out the year, but Laura's buried under work, and Doug, I know you are as well. It's folks are starting to get out and get their winter greenery.
It's just nuts, and it's what we like. But mm-hmm. And you always hope as a retailer that things will be as good as they've been, and you wonder as you go into it, is it going to happen or isn't it? Is it going to happen? But it's happening, folks, and we're glad of it.
I imagine there are a lot of people taking advantage of these temperatures, and will be taking advantage of these temperatures to get outside and work, or maybe get down to their local florist as well. I wanted to start this program, actually, before we talk a bit about the weather, I want to invite our listeners to join us, of course. The number to call, if you have a question or comment about your outer spaces this hour, it's 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And Doug, we went through just a little bit of a cold spell. I mean,
we haven't seen the teens yet, though.
We haven't seen the teens yet. We haven't really seen the 20s that much, except for a few hours overnight.
Right.
But we're headed back upwards again. We're getting north of 50 degrees and even on Monday we 60. Could see 63 degrees.
Isn't that nuts? That's crazy. That's December. I've seen weather do this before. We had a year when around the 8th to the 12th of December, a period that was the lows were in the 60s. The low was 62 or 63 degrees. And, it brings up an interesting story that you live and learn, because some of these things you just can't predict. They're not taught in college. You can't understand these things that are going to happen until it happens. But when that happened, all of the smart greenhouses, and if you can see quotation marks here, smart greenhouses, got the brilliant idea that, hey, I'm running my poinsettia plants at 63 degrees at night and then heating them mm-hmm. when it gets colder than that. And they thought, well, why even turn the boiler on? It's going to be so warm. What's the point? So guess what? All these so-called smart greenhouses didn't turn their heat on for several days. And here's what happened, Sean. The humidity in the air condensed into water moisture. It dripped on the blossoms of the poinsettias, and it gave them all a disease called botrytis, which spotted the crap out of the poinsettia blossoms. And here's the funny thing. I was not smart enough to think to do that. So my poinsettias didn't have it because I didn't think about turning the heat off. I lucked into success only because I didn't turn the heat off, and I thought about it like 4 days later. I thought, well, I could have shut the heat off, but see.
It's a mixture of hard work and luck always.
In this case, I wasn't smart enough, and it saved me.
Doug, I want to ask you, because this is unseasonably warm. Clearly, beginning of December, 63 degrees. Should folks be worried about anything as they look at their outer spaces coming up this weekend?
They really shouldn't worry about anything that's outside. Some things may start to grow. Some things may start to bud. There isn't anything you can do about it, but I wouldn't worry about it, because why worry about something you can't fix? You can't change the weather. But you should worry about what your neighbors are going to say if you don't get your outdoor chores done, because you have no excuse not to get your outdoor chores done. You've had time and time again where the weather breaks and look, hey, go out and do some more leaf raking or whatever. I want to say one thing before we take any calls or anything, and it's a simple thing to save these people listening. disconnect your garden hose from your faucet. You know, a lot of people forget to do that. And when it gets really cold, down into the 15 degrees and colder, I'll guarantee you, you'll break your water line in the basement or under the house. And you don't think you will because you got one of those fancy, when I screw it off, it screws off inside the house. Mm-hmm. It breaks inside the house between the real water line and the faucet. And so what happens is next spring when you turn it on, the water starts shooting out all over your basement. You didn't even know you had a leak.
Oh, no.
See, it breaks and you don't know it because it doesn't leak until you turn it back on.
Hmm.
And all you have to do is disconnect your garden hose. So do it today.
It's not a bad item to add to the weekend chores list here.
Yeah, put the
hose
away.
And you know, you can go out in short sleeves probably and get all this get all the rest of it done. So.
Absolutely. But that's the best tip I can give someone. Disconnect the garden hose, even if you just leave it lay there on the ground. So the garden hose gets broken.
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
Better the hose than your basement.
Exactly.
I do want to invite our listeners to join the conversation today. There's nobody in the phone bank currently. You'll be the first one on if you give us a call at 260-452-1185, or if you call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. If you can't get to the phones, of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, or you can post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. Or send us a tweet. It's @MiddayMatters. Lots of ways to get a hold of us this hour. And if you have a question or maybe some tips for what you're doing in your outer spaces this weekend, let us know that way as well.
Absolutely. And this is good weather for getting the last bit of decorating done, you know, hanging garlands, whether they're live garden garlands or artificial garlands, getting the wreath up. I always hate putting the wreath up when it gets really cold and you got to drag the ladder out there and you're freezing. And I just never much care for it. You can even get windows washed. I was outside washing windows yesterday.
You're reminding me of too many things I need
to
do here. So I think we're gonna go to the phones instead and shut that list down. Looks like we have a few callers on the line. Let's open up the phones and go to Bob. Bob, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
I have a peonies bush, and right now it's all yellow. It's down. It's dead. But my wife was asking if we should cut that off level to the ground now.
Yes, you should. Just go out there and cut it off level to the ground. Throw that stuff away, and your peony bush will be fine. You don't have to cover it with anything. If you feel like you have to cover it with anything, just do it with something loose like straw. But it's really not necessary.
Great. Thank you.
You bet.
All
right, thanks very much for the call, Bob. And, of course, we do invite other listeners to give us a ring, 260-452-1185. Let's go. Let's see. We have a few more callers on the line here. Let's go to looks like John has left us. John, if you'd like to give us a call back, please do. We'll get you on the air as soon as we can. It looks like we've got Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hey, good afternoon, man. Got a quick question.
Yeah.
I've got two tulip trees with bark issues. These are about 15 foot tall, maybe 4 inches in diameter. And not only at the base, but in maybe 4 or 5 feet up where some old limbs have been cut off. I get a bark splitting away, and I can see the cambium layer. And I was wondering if I should spray that with some kind of solution to either kill the mold or the moss or the bacteria or the whatever's growing in there. I want to get it done before it hurts the tree.
Yeah, there's a few things you could do. You could spray it with a dormant oil spray, which kills insects and diseases, and at the same time kills anything on the bark. That takes care of killing insects and disease problems. But, you know, you might want to try some other things. I don't know that actually painting it or pruning paint or anything like that is totally necessary. So when the bark starts breaking off, you can't just mend it back up. It's not like slicing your skin and then it heals back. It just never seems to make contact again. But you want to keep it from spreading further. And so in that case, I don't know, maybe some tree wrap for the winter. It'll help keep the deer and rabbits and other animals from chewing the bark off the tree, because it's really an easy target with that bark hanging out there like that for them to grab a hold of and chew in terror. So maybe some tree wrap. The other thing is, if you just take some styrofoam sheets, these are the flexible kind. I don't know how to describe. They're flexible like a blanket, styrofoam, where you just take pieces and you wrap it around the tree and staple them. And that keeps the animals away. It keeps the wind from blowing on your plant. You can staple them on there fairly loose. And then that way it's not constricting to the tree itself. You don't have to be in any hurry to take it off in the springtime when the deer are really eating at trees. And it's still, even though it's flexible styrofoam, it's still strong enough that when you wrap it around and staple it and it hits the ground, it stands up without buckling. So it's a great little thing. I've seen a lot of trees, new trees come to us that have this on there. And what a great idea. It's cheap and simple. Usually if you get some gift or something that has packing in it, if it's not peanuts, it might be the styrofoam stuff.
All right.
Makes a great wraparound.
Jimmy, a great question, and thank you very much. Look, we have a few more folks on the line. Let's keep the calls coming here. We've got, looks like a cat has left us as well. Cat, if you'd like to rejoin us, do give us a call. It's 260-452-1185. Let's see if we've got Sheila on the line here. Sheila, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I just had two quick questions. One was in regards to what type of fertilizer or what kind of nutrients would you put on a Japanese maple tree and at what time of the year? And the other one was as far as butterfly bushes, if you can cut those down now, because I was always told you needed to wait until springtime.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get past Thanksgiving and it's winter, which, you know, you look at the weather now, like we said, it's going to get warm again. But when you get back into December, that cutting anything back in December is almost the same thing as waiting until spring.
Okay.
Nothing is going to grow. And the whole reason that you don't want to cut back in late fall is because cutting back stimulates new growth. If you're going to cut something back in December, you're generally not going to stimulate any new growth. And so anytime between now and next spring, you could cut this thing back. If you want to wait and yet the plant is overgrown, you can do a two-part cut. You can cut it back partway now and finish the cutting in the spring.
Okay.
Just because it's nice to leave some excess growth on there that if the plant gets frozen or freezer damage, what happens is it always freezes on the tips and sort of works its way back. So the shorter the tips, the more chance of damaging your plant. The longer the tips, the less chance, because next spring you've got the advantage now. You can go out there and you can cut off that damaged material in the springtime and then stimulate growth. Fertilizer, don't fertilize anything the rest of this year, of course. The best time to fertilize all of those outdoor plants is in the spring, and you can use organic items such as bone meal is a good perennial type fertilizer. It's slow release. It's not real strong. Bone meal, blood meal. You can use tree and shrub fertilizers. The best time to do this stuff is in the spring. Probably, for the trees and that, I don't know that I'd do it much before I saw some growth. And even like tulip trees, they're going to bloom first and then grow later. I'd wait till they're through blooming. After they're finished blooming, and then you really want to promote the growth through May and June and July. That's the best times to really promote it with fertilizer. But no fertilizer in the wintertime.
Okay, I appreciate it very much.
You bet.
All right, Sheila, have a great day. Thank you very much for the call. The number, if you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth, 260-452-1185. Or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. We have a few more callers on the line, and then we'll need to take a break. First, let's go to Jan on line 6. Jan, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thanks. I had a question about an asparagus patch and one about avocado trees that I've sprouted. As far as the asparagus go, do I need to clear that off now? Somebody told me that the water would get down inside the root crown and it would kill the asparagus patch if I cleared it now.
Well, I doubt that it'll kill the asparagus root because I don't know how deep you planted yours. Some fast production people only plant them about 4 to 6 inches. But the real way to plant one is clear down to 8 to 10 inches. So water will always get down there at some point. And so I really doubt that water will be a problem. But I would cut all the ferny stuff away now. It's probably turned brown.
Yep.
And there's no point in leaving that there. I would get rid of that and clean up the area, just rake it. And that's basically it. Again, if you're going to put anything on top of the bed, nothing much heavier than straw.
Okay.
Or nothing.
Okay.
Nothing works.
I have sprouted, I don't know, 3 or 4 avocado trees, and they're about 2 foot tall here in the house.
Yeah.
And they seem to be sucking down water like crazy. I know I need to repot them in separate containers because they're all in one at the moment. What should I do with them to keep them alive?
You are correct. You should probably transplant them to separate containers. Don't plant them in giant containers.
Okay.
Transplant them to small separate containers, and then next spring, transplant them to as big a container as you like.
Okay, and
but don't do that at this time of year.
Not at this time
Just
of year.
Just the separation and keep them in smaller pots, because the idea is you want them to dry out fast, and if you jump right into a giant container, you'll have a pot of soil that never dries out, and you'll have a lot of problems. You'll have mold and mildew and rot.
Okay. So, now, will they go through, they're in the house, obviously. Are they going to drop their leaves at any time? Or, I mean, what is the life cycle of an avocado tree in the house?
Yeah, now there you're gonna hit me with something I'm not familiar with that well, is the cycle of an avocado tree. But I would think that you could keep the foliage on it all winter long as you don't run it too wet. And again, if you run it too dry between waterings, foliage will drop. So it's an equal balance that you have to keep. I would say run them more on the dry side than on the wet side.
Okay.
And what I tell everyone is you water thoroughly when you water. Just don't do it as often.
Okay.
None of this once a week stuff. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks very much for the call, Jan.
And no fertilizer.
No fertilizer. All right.
Have a very good day. We have time for one more call before we have to go to our break here. So let's get another caller on the line. It's Jacob. Jacob, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I've recently planted 72 bamboo seeds that I got from an online seller. And I was wondering how high should I let them grow in the planter before I repot them to other individual pots?
Oh, gosh. I think 6-8 inches would be plenty tall enough. They're fast growers.
Okay.
A lot of them can tolerate really damp areas, and they can tolerate some drought. So they're pretty easy to grow. I would assume that they're perennial, that you could plant them outside next year and they would survive. But now this is one of those... Bamboo is one of those plants that is considered really invasive. Boy, once that stuff gets rolling, you can't hardly ever get rid of it.
Well, I'm growing it in pots.
Yeah, that's the safe way to go. Absolutely, because it spreads.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, you bet. You bet.
Bye.
Jacob, have a great day. Thank you very much for the call. We do need to take a quick break here, Doug, and we'll get to Stan, who's on the line, when we come back in just about 2 minutes. So, Stan, stay with us. In the meantime, we want more folks to get in touch with us this hour. The number is 260-452-1185, or you can call 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm or get in touch with us via social media. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Hi, I'm Julia Meekin, who's gracing this week's Meet the Music soundstage, double good sessions with Zick and Tarfunkel and Fair Fiola. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at NIPR.FM, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
Facebook has had complaints about its privacy policy. Who can see your pictures? What personal data that apps can collect?
There's too many complex issues that need to be figured out. And actually, I just don't have enough time to go through everything to try and understand it all.
And Facebook privacy rules are about to change again. That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, a film that begins with terror in the sky.
This is Southjet 227. We're in an uncontrolled dive, and we got a jam stabilized or something.
Denzel Washington plays a heroic pilot who's an alcoholic in the new movie Flight. We'll talk with the director, Robert Zemeckis, whose previous films include Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Forrest Gump. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Are you saving enough for retirement? More information at Reinbold and Anderson on NIPR's homepage at www.nipr.fm.
It's 12:29, and you're tuned to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM WBOY. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth this hour. Doug was just popping into the studio here, had to grab a quick coffee.
Well, I was going to say hi to Bob, or Doug Gruber. Yeah, but I didn't see him.
We are ready and able to take your calls this hour. And it's easy to get in touch with us. The number is 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at middaymatters. We have a question that was left with us from Jim. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, though, we have a very patient caller on the line here. It's Stan. Stan, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, I have knockout roses, and some of the leaves don't look very healthy. They're dried up, and they got spots all over them, and I'd like to know how they're a little larger than what I'd like for them to be. How much can I cut them down, and when should I do the cutting?
Okay, well, you know, you're lucky you have any leaves at all at this time of the year. However, You should do your final pruning on these things in the spring, in April. So if you want to cut some of these down part way because they're just overgrown, then cut them back maybe a third now, but make sure that you go back out there in April and you cut them back a lot. These things can be cut down very far, and they recover without any problem whatsoever. The knockout rose is the best thing that's come along in many, many years. Very easy to grow, but to have any foliage on them at this time of the year, it's going to look bad. Now, if you want to get some of those leaves off that haven't dropped, you could take a plastic rake out there and just sort of rake across them and get those leaves to drop off so the plant looks better, because those leaves are bad. And then you want to rake those leaves up, get them out of there, because some of those diseases continue to linger through the winter and pop back up in the springtime, so it's always important to clean.
Do you think it might be a disease then, a fungus of some kind?
Well, they could have. Yeah, they could have. When the leaves get old like they are now, and they're going to turn yellow no matter what because it's wintertime, then diseases do like to jump on them. And, you know, you've heard people talk about it's a good idea to give your plants a shower every now and then. You know, you get the hose out and you're watering things and you put the faucet on her and you squirt the rose bushes and you just give them a rinse. And the reason for that is the dust that settles on the foliage is a great place for disease and bacteria to grow. And all you have to do is just wash the dust off, and it actually makes it better for your plants to not have this stuff growing on their foliage. So, but these things are generally disease-free, the knockout roses. So as long as you just keep the area clean, you should come back next spring without any trouble.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Stan, we appreciate the call, and have a very good day. All right, 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment this hour. And, of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. We have another caller on the line here. Let's go to Ray. Ray, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I need to ask a question about a redbud tree.
Yeah.
If this has been going on for several years, the bark is beginning at the bottom to peel off, and I thought it was a cat scratching, so I put a wire around it. That didn't help. It's still, I took the wire off finally, and it's still doing it, and I don't know whether it's dying.
Well, unfortunately, it's all environmental. You know, the moisture gets back. It's kind of like asphalt bus breaking in the street. It gets behind the bark, and then when it freezes and thaws, it pops the bark out, and it can potentially kill a tree. You hope that it won't happen. There isn't much you can do about it to stop it. You just have to hope that it doesn't happen. And with redbud trees, I don't know, it seems like 15 to 20 years. And if you keep it that long, you're in pretty good shape. Is this plant older than that?
Yes, and it's been a beautiful tree.
Oh, I
and
love
I
red buds.
To lose it, but it doesn't look like the foliage is as full as it used to be.
Yeah.
And also, in the fork of it, it looks like it might be getting some rot in there.
Mm.
So I suppose I'm going to lose it.
Well, eventually. It doesn't mean you'll lose it next year. It might still be another 4 or 5 years. But, you know, but consider doing some heavy pruning. Throughout the next couple of years, anything that looks just anywhere bad, cut it off. Obviously, you can't cut it at the base or you'd have no tree. But but anything that looks the least bit damaged or unhealthy, you might have to just cut it out.
Well, I have trimmed the you know, the anything dead. I have trimmed it out.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And even trimmed some of it where it was hanging down too low, I couldn't mow.
Yeah, and red buds are beautiful. I wish they would last forever, but, you know, it's one of those things that after 10, 15 years, you need to plant another one. So
yes,
that when
I have some little ones started outside in the bed, so I'll have to keep them and get them planted. So.
That's great.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Ray, thank you very much for the call. Have a great day.
And of
thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
And, of course, the dormant oil on these things when you're having problems, it just you can only use it while the trees are dormant. That's now. And the time to spray is when the temperatures are above 45 or 50.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting another opportunity.
Getting a little extra time this weekend.
To get some dormant oil applied. Because once it gets cold, you can't apply it until next spring.
Seems like we talk about it about once a show, just like Mackinac Island.
Yeah, well, I didn't bring it up this time. you did.
I did. We have one more question before we have to take a quick break for the news. Jim knows that putting leaves over a garden is a good idea. But do oak leaves give off a bad toxin that's bad for your garden?
Not really. No, oak leaves are fine. It's the walnuts that you really have to stay away from. Walnut trees are terrible. The roots are the worst. The leaves are bad. And the fruit's terrible, the walnuts themselves. But no, you can put oak leaves on the ground. I like to buy a bag of fertilizer every spring. And then at the end of the year, if I have any left over, I'll throw the leaves out on the garden. And then I'll take this leftover granulated fertilizer, whether it's the granulated type or even the kind you mix with water.
Mm-hmm.
And I just throw it all over the leaves. And that fertilizer mixing with the rain... Remember rain? We haven't had any in a long time. But when it mixes with rain, it helps to break those leaves up faster, put more nutrients and composted materials in your soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, you want to rototill it in, probably in the spring, but you certainly can do it in the fall too. But those are great things to put in. And of course, if you overdo it with leaves, you might you might have problems the other way. Mm. And you might want to add lime when you add a lot of leaves, because you're adding acid to the soil, and lime will help neutralize that.
All right. But yeah. Jim, we appreciate the question. Thank you very much. We do need to take that break for the news, and we'll keep the conversation going when we come back. And when we do come back, we have a question from Mary about tree peonies, so stick around. And of course, if you want to join the conversation, the number 260-452-1185, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. We don't have any callers in line right now, so we'll get to you right when we get back. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, a film that begins with terror in the sky.
This is Object 227. We're in an uncontrolled dive, and we got a jam stabilizer or something.
Denzel Washington plays a heroic pilot who's an alcoholic in the new movie Flight. We'll talk with the director, Robert Zemeckis, whose previous films include Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Forrest Gump. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. An Indiana ethics watchdog is crying foul after Republican House Speaker Brian Bosma hired a state house lobbyist to work on his staff. Bosma hired Matt Whetstone to work as the chamber's parliamentarian, or chief procedural aide. Whetstone is taking a break from his job as a lobbyist at Krieg DeWalt to work for the state. He was a state representative until he left in 2007 to become a lobbyist. Common Cause's Julia Vaughn says that Bosma's decision, quote, doesn't pass the smell test. Vaughn says it's troubling a lobbyist would have behind-the-scenes access to lawmakers. Bosma says in a statement he hired Whetstone because he, quote, understands the House rules and how to execute them. With a month still to go this year, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation Wednesday announced 2012 will set a record for commitments from companies to locate or expand operations in the state. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, IEDC CEO Dan Hassler says he'd still like to see more of those commitments turn into actual jobs.
220 companies have made commitments to the IEDC this year to expand or establish new operations in Indiana, translating to around $3.6 billion in investments and more than 20,000 jobs. But those commitments aren't guarantees. IEDC Chief Dan Hassler says on average over the last year, only about 4 out of every 5 jobs promised has materialized.
Not what you'd like. You'd like to have 90, 95, but we also recognize we were coming through a pretty difficult economic period at that point in time.
The IEDC has been heavily criticized in the past few years for announcing commitments only to see them fall through. Terre Haute Democratic Senator Tim Skinner says he thinks 81% is a good figure and hopes IEDC doesn't make job announcements just to, in his words, pad their stats.
There's evidence that they're working hard. They're trying to do what we've asked them to do. And I think, if they're that successful, I think that shows an improvement.
Hassler says any incentive packages offered to the corporations that make commitments are performance-based, requiring the companies to keep their promises before receiving benefits. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
It was 2-for-2 for Fort Wayne teams last night. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the results.
The Fort Wayne Mad Ants won their first game of the young season last night at the Coliseum, up by 2 points over the Canton Charge after one period. They fell behind 46-39 at the half, regained the lead 65-60 after 3 quarters, and finished with an 86-75 win. Walker Russell Jr. led the Ants with 25 points, followed by Ron Howard's 20. Juwan Johnson added 16 points and 14 rebounds. The Mad Ants will try to even their record at 2-2 Friday night against the Iowa Energy. The Fort Wayne Comets were in Georgia last night against the league-leading Gwinnett Gladiators. The Comets have been having problems scoring goals lately, but last night they were coasting with a 4-1 lead with just 5 minutes remaining in the game. And then Gwinnett stormed back with 2 goals, but the K's hung on for a 4-3 win. The win broke the Comets' 2-game losing streak. They'll take on Gwinnett again Friday night in the Georgia City. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
And now back to Midday Matters Outer Spaces with Sean Beter.
We'll be right back. It's about 20 minutes before 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist. And, Doug, we've had a very busy hour so far.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people with questions and comments. And, of course, if you would like to ask a question or maybe you have a tip for what you're doing in your outer spaces this weekend, give us a call, 260-452-1185, or toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at middaymatters. And a quick note, we don't have anybody currently in line on the phone, so if you do want to give us a call, we'll get you right through there. In the meantime, we do have a few email questions here. One from Mary. This actually came in yesterday. Thanks very much, Mary. Mary says, I have successfully been growing a tree peony for about 5 years. It blooms beautifully. It's approximately 24 inches tall by about 18 inches in circumference. I would like to transplant it to a different location. Is it too late in the season to do that? Would it be better to wait until spring? Anything special to do when transplanting that tree peony?
Wow, what a good question. Normally, fall's a good time to transplant perennials. Mm-hmm. We're almost beyond fall. It feels nice out this week, but I guess it's going to change by about Tuesday. It's going to cool back down again. I don't know. That's tough. Should you do it? I would have rather seen her do it 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
4 weeks ago, when the root system would have a chance to try and get going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just afraid if she transplants it now, it's just not going to have a chance to take root at all.
If it was yours, would you try to wait it out until spring?
I guess I would wait.
Probably?
Yeah. Okay. And that's sad, because when you transplant things in the fall, then next spring, it's almost like gaining a whole extra year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm thinking it's kind of late to be doing that, especially a peony tree. Those are expensive,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't take much chance with it.
Sure. Well, and if it's blooming as well and growing, yeah, as well as it sounds like it is, may want to wait it out just a bit.
Early now, next. She could do it early next spring, even before much growth. Like if the weather's nice in late March, do it then. Probably be better if she waited until the first or second week of April, but get the job done quickly.
When she's ready to transplant, anything special she should think about or she should remember?
No, not really. Just, you know, a lot of times they'll tell you, dig a hole twice the size that you need and then throw that loosened soil back in.
Hmm.
What you don't want to do is dig a hole twice the size you need and then fill it in with extremely good dirt.
Hmm.
Because if you put good soil in a hole, you get what we call the clay pot effect. Then your roots never want to leave that good soil.
Uh-huh.
So always use the soil you took out. You can blend some good soil with the old, but make sure that at least 2/3 of the soil you put back is the old stuff.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mary, we appreciate your getting your question in very early. And very good luck with the tree peony.
Yeah.
We do have another email question here from Cheryl. And this gets to one of the points you made in the last segment, Doug. Cheryl says, hello. Besides this fall being unusually warm, it's also been unusually dry. Should we keep watering outdoor shrubs and trees?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I just watered mine a couple of days ago, and they need it again. Especially since I had transplanted them late in the fall.
Hmm.
And some of them I still have in pots. I'm not going to put them in the ground. They're up next to the building, and I'm just going to hope that they survive. But I definitely need to either put them in the ground, the ones that aren't, or I'm going to get stuck watering them all winter long. And I've already waited too long, it looks like, on a couple of them. But they, you know, I have hopes that they'll shape up again next spring.
Well, we appreciate the question,
yeah,
Cheryl.
It's good question.
Absolutely.
We need to water.
Well, and this is it's been such a strange year already, and that's continuing. A lot of folks, you know, we're telling people to get out and get those last few chores done because it's going to be so warm this weekend.
I said put the hose away, now get it back out because you got to water. Right. But when you're finished, put it away.
We do invite you to join us this hour. Currently, no questions in the hopper, so you'll get right through if you have a question or perhaps a comment for us. The number is 260-452-1185 or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email like Cheryl did. It's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Doug, I want to kind of get back to this issue of, you know, things currently being dry. I mean, when should folks really stop that process? When should they stop watering? I mean, if weather continues like this, God forbid, up through New Year's.
Oh, my. Just keep watering. Yeah. Because, you know, I've always said the thing that kills plants, especially things like holly and boxwoods, is if they go into the wintertime dry, that's what's going to kill them. It isn't the winter weather. It's a combination of the winter weather along with the fact that the plants are dry. And that was the story, is that we used to lose holly every year until we finally figured out it had to be watered. And we tended to keep our flowers out, like most people do, as long as possible. So we kept watering them. Of course, you didn't have to water them near as often in the wintertime, or, you know, in the late fall, because the night times get so cold that nothing dries out before 11, 12 o'clock. Mm. And then that's that afternoon. Haven't you noticed it seems like the really warmest time of day now used to be high noon or maybe 2 o'clock. Now the hottest time of the day is about 5 or 6 p.m.
Although,
the time.
You know, this time of year, 5 or 6 p.m., we're getting into darkness.
The minute it gets dark, goodbye. It's cold again.
Looks like we have a few callers on the line for the last 10 minutes of the program. If you'd like to get your voice in under the wire there, the number is 260-452-1185. Let's open the phones and go to Linda. Linda, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
And I'd like to ask, I started a redbud in a flower bed, a redbud tree.
Sure.
And I wondered when I should move that out to my yard.
Oh, gosh. Now, see, this is different than the peony tree. You could move it out anytime you like. They always say that you can plant these things in the ground as long as you can dig a hole. So you could do it. You could still do it yet this year.
Would you advise that, or should I wait till spring, or is that the wrong time?
No, if you want it in a different place, I would advise doing it.
Doing it now?
Yes.
Probably as soon as possible, I would think.
The quicker the better, but I would do it. I would do it now. It's different than that peony. The peony tree is almost not really a tree, so don't get me wrong when I talk about it. It's more of a fancy, expensive shrub.
That's what I thought.
That's grown like a tree. But you have an actual tree. And yes, if somebody wants to move a tree at this time of the year, especially a young one like you're talking about, you started it in one area and you want to move it, you certainly could have done that a week or two or three ago, but you can still do it.
Well, I've had trouble getting them started. And apparently one of them took off in my flower bed, so that I've seen it to think, oh, good. I'm really excited to have one finally.
Yeah, I think I'd move it now. If you wait until spring and move it, you're going to shock it to the point where foliage might fall. It might start to develop foliage, and then it drops off, and you'll think the tree is dying. It'll mess up the blooming, whereas if you move it now, you won't mess up your blooming.
Should I still use fertilizer and the usual tree planting procedure?
In the spring. Not now.
In the spring. Not
now. No fertilizer now. Right.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thanks so much.
You bet.
Linda, great question. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thanks. All right.
Have a great day. We have a bunch of folks who decided to take us up on our invitation to join us this hour.
Let's get them.
So we'll forego our usual break right now and go to Greg. Greg, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Greg.
About 7 years ago, it was Earth Day. I was out at the mall and bought a blue spruce tree for $1. It's about the size of my thumb. And it's taken off quite well. It's now about 3 foot tall. mm-hmm. and it's growing next to my flagpole. Shouldn't have planted it there, but I need to move it. Want to know if it's a good time to move that now or
yes, sir.
When I should move that?
You can move it now, and it'll be perfectly fine. This is a plant that doesn't even develop a very big root system, so it ought to be easy to move other than the fact that it'll hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, the needles on those things, but... no, I would move it. If you're ready to move it, go for it.
Okay, and it was planted in clay. It's always been in clay. That's all we have out here. Yeah. So
well, when you dig your new hole, you can add some peat moss to the clay that you dig up.
Okay.
Just mix some in with the soil that you dig up and put it back in. And by the way, I don't run advertisements on the show, but I have peat moss for $1 a bag. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm sorry, Sean. I overstepped my bounds on that one.
It's all right.
But it's not easy to find it this time of the year, so I just thought I'd mention that.
All right. Thanks,
guys. You bet.
All right, Greg. Thanks very much for the call. And Doug,
yeah,
I'll tell you what.
Well, I mean, you know, he wants some peat moss, and I know where it's at.
That's all right. Greg, we appreciate your call. Very good luck with the transplant.
I'm here to help.
Several more folks on the line. We'll try to get to everybody here. Let's go to it looks like Steve has left us, unfortunately. Steve, if you'd like to give us a call back, we'll try to get you on. It's 260-452-1185. Let's see if Daniel is with us on the line. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. As far as watering goes and the city water rates likely to increase because of projects they need to do, are there cost-effective ways to collect either rainwater or household gray water that would be effective and healthy for a number of plants, or are there
certainly, yeah. There's water barrels, and of course you can just use any barrel and do that. If you have the plastic barrels, the coolest thing about a plastic barrel is you get the faucet that you want to put in it, and you get the right drill bit, and you can actually drill the hole the right size, and those plastic faucets will screw right into the hole you just drilled without any other, because there's no pressure on this thing. It's only the pressure of the water in the barrel. It's not like city pressure that's like 65 pounds of pressure. And they just screw right into the barrel, and you've got yourself a faucet. But remember, I went to a seminar on water barrels one time, and one thing that people don't realize, you cannot just collect water from rain and then just leave it set there for weeks on end. It will draw mosquitoes. It will go bad on you. So you can do this, but you need to use it too. It's not something you can just collect and hold it forever. It needs to be used and constantly get new water. Right. But no, it's simple enough. Water collection, you can dig a trench where the water flows from your roof and down your trench to your areas and floods
and
the
about,
areas, but then you got to be
water
careful.
From the water used inside the household that can be separated for like heavily used water and then the lighter used gray water, maybe the lighter is still healthy for plants or something.
Well, if we're talking about the toilet, I probably wouldn't mess with it, but with the bathtub, I think you'd be okay. You could do that.
Okay. Well, I guess that's question.
All right. I just remember that the water utility is generally the least expensive of the three utilities. So we do a lot of watering where I'm from, and it's a big bill compared to most, but it's still the smallest bill we have. Sure.
Well, Daniel, good luck, and we appreciate your call.
You.
All right. Have a very good day. We have several more folks on the line. We'll try to get to as many as we can here. Let's see if Sharon's still with us. Sharon, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I think you already answered my question with some others, but I bought a small Norfolk pine tree to use as a Christmas decoration on the porch, and I wondered if we can go ahead and plant that after Christmas.
Well, seriously, if it's a Norfolk, a Norfolk Island pine, it is not winter hardy. It should be dead on your porch even now. This is not a winter hardy plant. It's from a tropical island, and it cannot take cold weather.
Interesting.
Yeah, 48 degrees is about as cold as the Norfolk Island should be.
The good news is it's going to be in the 50s this weekend, yeah, so you should be okay.
You could enjoy it for a week.
So you're saying I'm going to be lucky if it lasts through the holidays?
If it's outside, yeah. If it's truly a Norfolk Island pine, right, it is not an outdoor plant. You can put it out in the summer. If you live in Florida, I see them in people's front yards in Florida, and they get big. The largest one recorded in history was over 300 feet tall, so no limit to how big they can get. But it's generally sold as an indoor house plant, and at Christmas time, we sell more of them than any other time because they can be used. You can put little red bows on it or some little
exactly
white
what it
lights.
Looks like.
Yeah, and that's fine, but it is not winter hardy.
So if it turns out that that's not what it is and it lives through Christmas, I can plant it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in fact, that was always the way the live potted trees were to be handled, was they would say, go dig your hole today, put the soil in a wheelbarrow, wheel it into the garage,
right,
and then after Christmas, if the weather's really horrible, I mean, if everything's frozen, if there's snow on the ground, you can still take the tree out, stick it in the hole, and bring that soil out in your wheelbarrow and use it to plant the tree, no matter what the conditions are like. So, yes, you may do that.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just wait and see what happens with it.
Righto.
Sharon, we appreciate your call. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I think we have time here for perhaps one more caller. So let's see if we can get David on the line here. David, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Well, good afternoon.
Hi, David.
My question is regarding two clematis plants, and they did not do well this summer. They had vigorous growth in spring, and they have excellent support. They actually have a lattice that is approximately 6 feet tall, gets plenty of air movement. And this summer, they developed a gray leaf.
Sounds like mildew.
And the plant just did not look healthy at all. And no growth, basically, after the spring.
After that. Okay, well, listen, I'm limited on time, so I'll make this somewhat fast for you. But if normally we tell people they don't need to cut their clematis back unless it's just too big for them, then they should cut it back. You can cut it back almost to the ground, and it'll come back next year and grow, but you're just like starting all over again.
Yes.
If you ever run into these problems with the mildew, certainly get out there and start spraying with a fungicide. I don't even care what kind, but a fungicide.
Okay.
We have something out there on the market called Triple Action, which is an insecticide, fungicide, miticide. Great product to use because it takes care of all of those problems. And but any infected leaves, especially badly infected, just pull those off carefully. Try not to shake them around or anything because the spores just go flying.
Yes.
Even if you don't see them, but get that stuff out of there. And if you have a problem, cut it back. It'll regrow. Gotta go. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
David, have a great day. Thank you very much. Doug, thank you for helping us out once again today. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody. Do join us next week. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios. It's WBOI Fort Wayne, WBKE North Manchester. The time is 1 o'clock. Have a great day.